assist as soon as I can. Thank you again for calling, and I'll talk to you soon.
Greetings, the automatically deleted husband, and yes, I had a busy day. Shocker. But I did find it fascinating. I did get my boots to the cobbler, the shoe repair store today, and it is interesting the number of people that comment about not only that I walk far, but that I walk fast, and it really has been fascinating. And of course, we were complaining at the when I was getting the boots done, complaining. Ugh. I only got 2,000 miles in these boots, and they need to be replaced. Ah, gee. But, 2,000 miles on a pair of boots is 2,000 aggressive miles. I think I got my money's worth in that. They're obviously good quality boots that could last that long, 2 years, basically. And... Oh, 15 heels or so. The soles replaced three or four times, the heels 15 times or so. So it's I got my money's worth out of those. And the other thing that I find so joyful is one of the things I try to do is build relationships with the place I deal with, because it's hard to do that with Walmart. I haven't been to Walmart in at least 5 years. But when I go there, it's basically it is a first name. It's Hi John. The other thing is, I think their service to me is probably more than others get, simply because the repeat business, and I make an effort to show them respect, because they do very good work. I find it so important. It's not the kind of work you do. It's not you do software, so you're more important than the guy who repairs shoes. No, it's the quality of work that you do, because when you do it with love, and I really think, when I see them work, it's not, I'll get by, but they seem to want to do it well. And, I really think that is one of the fundamental purposes that we need to do as a follower of Christ, to encourage others, other followers of Christ, because that's what it is in this case. So, I find great joy in that. Something important that I found, well, and of course, I did send my postcard today to Erica Lee in reference to, what I mentioned yesterday, since her website has disappeared. I am concerned for my girl. I don't know what's going on. It could be something completely token, but it could be something else. And I just want to make it known to her. Her dad's here, to whatever degree I can. If it's just dialogue, whatever I can, I'm here. And of course, it's applicable to all my kids. And what's that lady? That's right, the woman who committed her life to me, my wife. My only desire is to offer grace. Speaking of, I find it fascinating that I mentioned recently about how I went to Microsoft, took a job. I was there for about 3 weeks and quit, because I said, no, I can't bring my family. I mean, the fundamental reason was I can't bring my family to that culture. I found out recently that the Microsoft, as well as Amazon, which is one of the people, I actually even got an email today from one of their headhunters. We need people here. Tesla, Goldman Sachs, Lyft, Citicorp, Yelp, are the big corporations that, as we have the possibility of the overturn of Roe v. Wade happening, they have come out with policies that they say they will pay for their employees to do out-of-state travel to get an abortion. No, I don't want to work for Microsoft. I don't want to work for Microsoft, Amazon, Tesla, and so forth. No. There was a dialogue today because, you know, I've made a conscious effort that whether they're large or small players, when they have done something that that for me, it's not that I'm imposing this on others, but for me, they have now done something where they're suggesting or imposing something that I say, no, I can't do, or they're involved in something like this, I will refuse to deal with them. Food City, for example, because I have the picture of their sign that they had out in front of their stores saying, customers don't come in without a mask. I've never been back. There was the place I used to go constantly, Abundant Living here in town, small, you know, one store place. I haven't been there in 2 years because they got ridiculous. And I interacted with the owner and said, you know, you're getting ridiculous. Because they wouldn't let people in the store initially before all the mask stuff and whatnot. Right off the bat, they got ridiculous. I went to the store one day, wanted to get my drink that I would get there constantly. And they brought it out to me instead of me having to go in. It's the last time I was there. I haven't been back. I interacted with the owner via email. I haven't been back. Which actually saved me a lot of money, because I now get basically everything I was getting there. I get it online and get it cheaper, because I go direct to the providers. I don't do Amazon. Again, here's another reason why, because Amazon is going to be paying. And I think in the last 5 years, I've had one thing come from Amazon simply because I couldn't get it from anywhere else. But no. And then of course, because again, I had this discussion today, you know, I won't buy a Nestle product, meaning I won't get Perrier anymore. I don't impose this on others. I don't drink Deer Park water simply because it's a Nestle product. Because I have a problem with slavery. And it's not something that I believe I can go and say, if you drink a Perrier or Deer Park water, or you have a Nestle's chocolate bar or whatnot, that you're a bad person. No, I can't say that. I can't do that. I will proclaim that what you're doing is you are buying from a company that participates in abject slavery. And you might want to consider that. For me, it's not that I impose on others, but I will not buy from them. In the same way, you know, one of my big problems is my favorite mouse is a Microsoft mouse. And, you know, they wear out and I don't know what to do now. Fortunately, my keyboard, I mean, this is codekeyboards.com. This is an excellent keyboard. The problem, you know, I very much endorse the product. It's a relatively small company, but the issue is, I bought these 5 years ago and they last. I mean, they're great. They're good quality. They're great. I have two of them. But, you know, I mean, a keyboard, and I think it was like $165. But, you know, it's like driving a sports car instead of an old clunker when you want to go down the highway quickly. And I want to use the computer quickly, and the keyboard really remarkably helps, especially like those fancy flat things and whatnot. The difference is remarkable. I mean, there are numerous studies that actually show this, but I will tell you from experience, the difference from this keyboard versus these chintzy ones, day and night. But anyway, that's a big tangent. The point is, I saw the article about Microsoft paying for abortions. You know, by now, I'm sure, you know, because when there was a interaction with Amazon, they were talking north of 200K. This was some years ago. And, you know, I started at, was it 120 when I started at Microsoft in 2007? I no doubt that if I would have played the game, been north of 200K without a problem. And you know, because I'm getting, you know, requests, one recent request said, you know, all we can do is 140K. It's kind of like, you know, take off the one, that's about what I'm making. and it's easy to, you know, doing what I do to get those kind of figures. But that's the problem. Because I think people are being bought. You get into this, you know, it's, well, okay. One of the things I found interesting, you know, again, I will contend one of the most reliable sources for news today is the Babylon Bee. Because they claim we're giving you fake news because it's satire. But the article that I saw, and I read it, I read only a fraction of them, but this one I read. Christian searches through Bible to find Jesus' teaching about funding Lockheed Martin. And the thing that stood out about it was the location they give, Chattanooga, Tennessee. But they talked about, you know, the two leadership, I forget, I think they say deacons or elders, whatever. And one was a Democrat, one was a Republican, and they gave opposites, and they ended up deciding, they'll never resolve the matter. And see, I think they hit it well, because there's a lot of things. One is that so many issues. It's kind of like, well, you know, we're a church leadership, but I mean, you're actually wanting us to search the scripture to find out what the Bible says on something that we're going to say is kind of a worldly issue, so we're not going to address it because we don't want it to impact our worldly ways. I would suggest is what the reality is, you know, and you know, they give the hint about the Democrat versus Republican stuff, and yeah, I understand that. But you see, the thing I find so important, the reason you wrestle with Christ, the reason you engage with the Scripture, the reason you search the Scripture to see if these things are so, is because I'm not trying to find out what I vote for. But go one step further, do I vote? And, you know, that'll get you in trouble. You don't ask those questions. Again, and unfortunately, I don't remember what the question was. But it was so, so remarkably informative to me when I was at Covenant Presbyterian Church in Chattanooga. Saturday morning men's breakfast, and I think his name is General Bell, retired general, and giving a rah-rah talk about something the military was doing, and rah-rah about, you know, we had a veteran or whatnot that was there, well, including me, but that, you know, so it was one of these rah-rah things. And then there was a question and answer. And I asked something, and I say, I don't know what it was, but it was so overwhelmingly clear. It was a question you shouldn't ask, because I put this guy on the spot, a leader in the Christian church, and I put him on the spot, and you don't do that. You know, it's reminiscent. I've mentioned the time because probably a couple of years. I used to watch constantly the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations. They have their meetings and their public meetings. They put on YouTube, and I've watched them. I did watch at the time it happened or the week it happened the one with at that time. Vice President Biden, when he talked about being in Ukraine and getting the one of the guys fired, he said, you know, I'm leaving here in 2 hours. This guy is fired or you don't get your loan. And he was fired before he got on the plane. And so, you know, that would, you know, that's pressure politics and should have been something to say, no, this guy, Biden, is not credible. But of course, There were a few people who mentioned that, but that didn't become a news item. You know, it was like the Hunter Biden laptop that just silenced. Of course, it's talked about now, but it was silenced back then because, because of politics. But when I watched the CSR event, I mentioned I saw there was somebody, whoever the speakers were, and a woman asked a question. There was a question that put somebody on the spot. And you could tell the tenor of the audience changed. And you could see that the question was not answered well. There was even a hint of, we don't ask these kind of questions, in the tone of the response. And my statement at that time was, that's it, she's gone. She's no longer, she will not get ahead within that group. Because you don't put these people on the spot. You don't put General Bell on the spot. Because rah, rah, go America. And he has credibility because look at the rank he obtained. You know how you obtain rank in the military? It's kissing behinds is the polite way to say it. It's the same way in the corporate world. Same thing. And that's not a flippant statement. That's reality. You have to be part of the club. And you have to promote the club to get ahead in the club. Is the institutional church leadership any different? No, it's not. That's why you don't ask questions like I did to a group of church leaders at the time. And again, I was post the gathering in the social time. That comment was made to me, saying, I agree with you, but I wouldn't have asked the question. So, but anyway, you have the, of some of the things I had the foresight on. I think I had the foresight on not going to Microsoft, not bringing my family there, because clearly, my wife used to be pro-life. I don't think she is anymore. But the way the corporate environment is endorsing culture in a way that would be contrary to being a follower of Christ is a big issue. And again, the dialogue I had today, and I don't have a solid answer, and I think this is going to be something we're going to delve into a lot, is if you take the Microsoft thing or take the Nestle thing, to what degree do you say, all right, I will not buy Perrier, I will not buy Deer Park water, I will not knowingly buy any Nestle product. Again, the issue here is so many, because they own so many multiple brands that, pick this up. But of course, rarely do I buy a packaged product. I went to the store today, and what did I get packaged? I got apples. Well, that's not packaged. I got bananas. Well, that's not packaged. I did get some milk, but I got the local brand. And that is kind of packaged, but it's, what do you do? I used to, I used to get raw milk. I had three different sources, but my government doesn't want me to do that. I'd rather do that. So much rather do that. But anyway, so I wonder about that. I think I made the right decision. And I wonder, does my wife think so? Does my father-in-law think so? That I walked away from a $120,000 job. Do they think I did the right thing by taking the job as a defense contractor? I rationalized to do that. I was wrong. And, I'm going to put a link. There's a gentleman, Ryan Christensen, I think is his name. He calls himself the Last American Vagabond. He has a video blog, he does what it's called the long format, because a lot of his programs are 2 or 3 hours long. And sometimes he'll give snippets or shorter versions. And he has one that's only 49 minutes, and I'm going to give you the link. The Great Mask and Flu Deceptions. And I really think he did an excellent job of summarizing, especially now that we're well past this. He says basically, he put it together better than I have. But I don't know if he brought up anything new. I don't think he brought up anything new. But the idea, again, I stated 2 years ago, the masks are the armbands of 100 years ago. And like I say, I think the evidence is clear. The evidence is growing clear. And he gives the supporting, he doesn't use those terms, but gives the supporting evidence to them. And I can still say I've never worn a mask. And he gives you the reasons why. And, you know, the beginning, which I highly recommend. If you don't watch anything, watch the beginning, which is maybe a minute or two. He has, and I don't know if he did that or if he got that from somebody, but it's just one 5-second clip after another put all together of the beloved Dr. Fauci, or Dr. Fraudy, as he's often called, one clip after another saying, yes, wear the mask. No, the masks are useless. Yes, wear the mask. No, the masks are useless. Yes, wear 3 masks. No, the masks are useless. Going back and forth and back and forth. And he's the person people trust. You know, this is, you know, and see, the thing is so amazing. It's the idea of trust the science. That's the theme that's used. Oh, if you don't trust Dr. Fauci, he is science. No, he's a fraud. As, what's his name? The guy who invented the PCR test says he's a fraud and a liar, or egotistical liar, I think is what he said. And, you know, and apparently he's the highest paid U.S. government employee. You get paid more than the president. And it's the idea of trust the science is a marketing term, because what it means is trust the scientists, trust the authorities. It's not trust science, because the science for decade plus has stated clearly over, as this video that I'll link demonstrates. And I have gone and looked at some of those studies over and over again, shows there isn't a single rational controlled randomized study that shows that our masks do anything to help to prevent the spread of a virus, of the flu. Zip, nothing. There are some studies, you know, because again, the reason that the surgical team in an operating room will wear a mask is to prevent spitting on the open wound of the patient. And there's strong evidence, doesn't matter. Even that doesn't matter. So wearing them, because I don't know where, I don't have the link, but anyway, but I do recall there was a study done, I think it was in the UK somewhere, or Ireland, whatever, where they took a pair of operating rooms. And in one room, they did the normal mask. In another room, they did nothing, no mask whatsoever, for a period of like 3 months or whatever. No difference. So, you know, when you look at the evidence, the masks are useless. And what does it do? It makes it hard to understand one person. You get rid of the facial stuff, especially to young kids. You dampen the relationship they have with each other. And when you do it inside, especially if you do it at a Christian school, maybe North Hills Christian School, where they put masks on kids. And it's, again, trust the scientists, right? But if you look at the science, very simple. You take a CO2 sensor, stick it in the mask, and you'll find that your CO2 level will go higher than what OSHA considers safe. They'll consider it toxic. And you put that in little kids, that's child abuse. Anyway. And then there's more. Along with the Microsoft, along with this thing, apparently there is now some more information about Johnson & Johnson's vaccine. Specifically, has shown, I think they're saying it's no longer, some are saying no longer recommended because of the microclot issue. You ever heard anybody say that? Do you ever hear anybody talk about the D-dimer test? You can go, because I checked right here in Cleveland at the hospital, and you can go and get a D-dimer test for like $25 if you prepay, and it will tell you whether or not you have microclots. And, you know, there's this video called The Pre-Vaccinated Should Take a D-Dimer Test. It's only less than 3 minutes long. You know, obviously it's mine. And I will contend, I'm not the only one that says this, so this, it's not my idea, but I just did make the effort to proclaim it. If you do that, if you get the vaccine, you probably, my understanding, those who have actually studied it, it's about 60%. So it's over half the people who get the shot, get the microclots. And, again, I was told today about how fast I walk. And I stated at the time, and I've stated before, I want to find somebody young that can keep up with me. I want to walk the greenway here in town with somebody who can beat me. The odds of that are really small. Because the number of people who can do that is really small. Again, best estimate I get from when I look, less than 1 in 1,000 can beat me. But they're there because they're the people, they're the one in the millions that can make me look slow. I'm approaching 5 miles an hour on the 4.2 mile path, and the people who can do it at 9. Those are literally, the people who are, that's, a few dozen in the world that can do that, but the people who can do that. But the people who can walk the way I do, there's probably a million of them. But that's still less than 1 in 1,000. And I want to find them. Again, I can't do anything coordinated. I can't run. I don't have the strength and whatnot. But walking, blow you away. Take the vaccine. Probably for me, it's over with. Maybe the end of it. The vaccine could potentially be fatal for me. But and one of the things was, I don't know if he did it in that video, but see, one of the other things, because a number of people are now talking about this. You have this pandemic of the unvaccinated. It's absolute baloney. It's, again, trust the scientists that are lying to you because they changed the terms. And this has to sink in when they say that people who are unvaccinated are the ones who are hospitalized and dying. It's like somebody telling you that, hey, heroin's good for you. Well, that would be Bayer, because again, Bayer is, the company Bayer, 100 years ago, invented heroin. They developed it and made it an over-the-counter product designed to help kids. And it was a pain reliever, non-prescription pain reliever. And non-addictive. Well, that changed, didn't it? But that was Bayer. I have a picture of the bottle from 100 years ago. Heroin by Bayer. It's kind of like, world's changed. But anyway, the you know, obviously I lost my train of thought. Bummer. Anyway. Okay. The point that I wanted to make, which again I think is important, I've stated it before, what they do. The whole idea of look at the case count. You can verify this. Check and see if what I say is true. You can look. The definition of a case years ago was when somebody was sick. The definition of a case now is when somebody tests positive. They change the definition of a case in order to inflate the numbers. Same thing is being done with the death or the illness or the hospitalization of the unvaccinated. Because the way that they describe somebody who is vaccinated is he has the first shot, the second shot, and at least one, perhaps two of the boosters, and it's been at least 2 weeks. So if you've had just the two shots without the booster, you're considered unvaccinated. If you had all three shots or four shots, but it hasn't been 2 weeks yet, and you end up in the hospital, you're considered unvaccinated. They're lying to you. The people who are doing this are lying to you. Why? Why would somebody lie to you that overtly? Think about that. Why would somebody lie to you that overtly? When somebody says the mask or the armband of 100 years ago, you can write them off. Say, no, don't get the vaccine. Write them off. Trust the scientists. And when you see that they're lying to you so overtly, so blatantly. And I think, again, the gentleman, Denis Rancourt, when he talked about the masks, the reason people will say no, you show me the evidence, you make it clear, it's obvious, I'm living a lie. But because of the fact I've lived a lie now for a year, 2 years, or whatnot, I cannot admit I've been living a lie. Therefore, I'm going to continue to live the lie. Because everyone around me is continuing to live the lie. And if you show me more evidence, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. I don't want you to point me to the truth. I have to live the lie. You're attacking my pride. Don't do that. You know, I made the quote from Tacitus from first century about... somebody I've wronged, I now have to hate. It was a basic idea. So if you wrong somebody, I don't know, you promise somebody that I'm committing my life to you, and then you back out of the deal, and you hurt them. Now you have to hate them, because otherwise what? You have to admit, maybe I did something wrong. You know, again, this is hate. This is not small quantity hate. This is large quantity hate. This is not light duty stuff. This is overt hate. And I love that lady. Have I hurt her? Absolutely. I made her life difficult. There's a lot of mistakes. I can give you a list if you want them. Some things I'm aware of. There are probably things I'm not aware of. But I'm not going to say, well, I have to hate her now. No, I love her. I love her and I'm committed to her. It's another interesting thing. Again, from that reliable source of news and current events, the Babylon Bee. The title today was Introvert decides to finally tell a husband of 10 years that he's been mispronouncing her name. This is Esther instead of Esther. Esther instead of Esther. You know, and it's kind of like, well, she, you know. And, you know, I've had a dialogue with my wife about asking her something that she wouldn't, something intimate. And she didn't want to talk to me about it. You know, I had to pull it out of her. And, you know, because it's one of the things I've stated before to all my girls. I'll say to any woman, one of the most important things you need to do to your husband is be open and honest and communicate with him. Beyond so many other things, you need to be open and honest and communicate. If you hide or deceive, you're hurting him. You're not loving him. You know, there is the call for a wife to submit to her husband. Yes, that's true. But, you know, consider the idea in 1 Corinthians, is it 11? 14? 11? Where that a wife shouldn't speak at the assembly, a woman shouldn't speak at the assembly, but ask her husband at home. That idea. Open your mouth and ask. Whether it's something about theology, what happened in the assembly, or something between the two of you. You know, there's the jokes about, you know, again, like recently the Babylon Bee, how the wife was preparing the list of things that her husband's going to buy her by, you know, pre-ordering it on Amazon or whatnot, again, which I wouldn't endorse. Or how she thinks how she's planning for what her husband will do, but she won't tell him. It's a joke, but the reality is it's wrong. I know it's commonplace. And let me also suggest to husbands, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the assembly and gave himself up for her. Your wife's flawed. My wife's flawed. And husbands are all flawed. You know, again, I wrote, All Husbands Are Jerks, Love Them. That was the title. And because we're flawed men, loving flawed women. But the thing to do is to offer that constant love. And, you know, again, because loving your wife like Christ loved his bride, the elect, so you give yourself up for her. Which is not the idea of saying whatever you want. No, it's saying, well, I suggest one of the ways is take on the cost of what's due her. Love her in such a way that you speak the truth to her. You don't lie to her. Love her in such a way that you don't turn from her. Love her in such a way that you don't give her the things of the world, but you give her Christ. And no matter how much she hurts you, love her. I'm trying to live that example. I want to teach my kids the mass of the armbands 100 years ago. You're living in a world that is teaching you fraud. Don't be a part of the fraud. If you've been a part of that fraud, which my wife has claimed she has been, which I have seen, you know, MetaView has been. I don't know. I haven't checked on whether Covenant has. I wouldn't be surprised. you know, where you impose on people to put on a mask. I'm sorry, that's stupid. And I'm sorry, that's not a word I'm using flippantly. I think I'm using it accurately. It's stupid. If you're that convinced that the authorities are telling you the truth, you are a fool. You're simply a fool. You're bowing down because the music is playing and worshiping the golden image that was set before you. You're a fool. When the evidence is overwhelming in front of you, and I would suggest the evidence is overwhelming in front of you, the veracity of Christ, the institution, an authority institution, doesn't have to point you to that. Christ does. We point to Christ, not the institution. And how do you see that you're a follower of Christ? You love. Do I see love in my own family? Father-in-law, Render Cranes, Chris Bitterin, church leadership, when they saw the distress in his heart, soul, whatever, when he begged us and we would not listen, the Genesis 42, they have all of that in front of them and they close their hearts and they say, come join us as we worship the Lord. Come wear a mask when you join us. Come bow to the state when you join us. And of course, open your wallet to us. They're frauds. Unambiguously, they're frauds. And they can't contend on that, can they? Because that would take love, courage. And I guess the only way to do that, really, is to twist the scripture, because you can't find it. I will contend you can't win the argument from scripture. So you got to run. You have to play the role of a coward. Okay. I got on my soapbox. I wanted to let my wife know. I am very grateful that we didn't end up as a family in Redmond, Washington, with me working, getting big bucks for Microsoft. I'm grateful that my wife has said that she has no plans to vaccinate the kids. I have no idea if she's living then. She has put on the mask on kids. She said that. And I'm sorry. That was stupid. She's trusting authorities, not the Lord. She says Jesus is the Redeemer and disobeys Christ. Jesus is the Redeemer of his elect. If you disobey Christ, you're not showing any evidence. I mean, if you overtly disobey Christ, you're not showing any evidence. You're a follower of Christ. I love that lady. I love that lady so much. Whatever I can, whatever I can do, I'll try. And just so you know, by the way, I mentioned yesterday that was a demo that occurred today. And you're familiar with the idea of moving the goalposts. Well, it started and they said, well, actually, we have these other things we want to do. And it's kind of like, we're not prepared for that. You didn't ask for that. And there was an issue. So it's been pushed off for a couple weeks. You know, it's anyway. But as far as I know, the buyout is everything is going along fine on that. Again, 6 to 12 weeks, Lord willing, that'll be closer to 6 than 12. Hopefully less than 6. So that, you know, there's no issue there. And the other thing is, of course, I'm going to speak the truth about my wife, the one I love and adore. I am going to be honest that what she's doing by returning the postcards, by going to the state, she's violating man's law. She's trusting in man, not the Lord. She's not keeping the promise. She shows no love. Zip, none. What is she showing to my kids, our kids? What model is she showing to our kids? But this one thing I think she knows beyond question. She has an advocate. Me. I will not turn from her. I will not abandon her. I will seek reconciliation all the days of my life. And she knows that. I have no doubt she knows that. And because, again, the Tacitus outline, because she has wronged me, she has hurt me, she has to hate me. I think the evidence is clear. I pray she stops and reaches back out to the man she committed her life to, and again, will again keep the promise. My lady, my wife, the woman I love and adore, your husband, who is somewhat verbose, loves you and wants you back.